The conference will now begin.
Okay, hi. Hi, Heather. How are you? Everybody's answering. Baruch Hashem, doing great. Okay, so let's continue. We're on... place. Second, let me just find the place. Yeah. We're on page Kuf Ayin Hey. Kuf Ayin Hey. We were talking about building a kli, the Yesod HaOvar, through wanting, through longing, through Hishtoikikus, Te'avon, that creates a kli for receiving. That's what we were talking about, how in the Yesod of Ofar, there's a gevaldige tikkun that takes place. Davka by not having, davka by going through misyonis and difficulties. The person is not misyayish, the person doesn't despair, doesn't give up. That is davka an opportunity, a time, where a person can create a tremendous kli to receive all kinds of chidushim, all kinds of brachas. That's how Kosh Baruch Hu made the world, Vayev, Vayboker, Bano Ilmas, Vayechrivan, created worlds, destroyed worlds, and so on. That's what we're learning about. We're learning about Binyan Kalim Benefis, building Kalim in the soul, building Kalim, Binyan HaKalim Benefis. So we do that with each of these sodas, to build these kalim of who we are, to be able to receive all kinds of hashpos, all kinds of brachas. We build strong kalim. So we were learning last week about how to build a kli of offer, the yisod of offer. The whole inyan of binyan hakalim is, as we learned, the yisod ha'offer. But every kli is built not only of Ofar, but of Eish, Mayim, and Ruach. So let's learn. On page Kuf Ayin Hey, Binyan HaKli B'Yisod HaEish Mitzad HaNigud. This is complicated. It's very beautiful. It's not easy. HaEish B'Yna Es HaKli HaEish B'Yna Es HaKli Hamakabu mikoach nigud. Eish builds a kli. How? From the koach of nigud, of opposition. Kol eish mitiva misnagedes mechala. Fire by nature is opposed to whatever it comes into contact with. It's opposed to, and it consumes and destroys. That's the nature of fire. That's what fire is. It's in perpetual opposition. In perpetual conflict. That's how it exists. That's how it operates. Mayim mitivam. He's going to explain this, of course, much more. Mayim mitivam. Einem misnagdim. Water by nature is not a misnagid. Of course, he says, Vadeshim gam yichodim lesnagid. Avonim shorhaku hamayim. Like we see that when Teshkufayin Hay, you see that. Oh, yeah, that was published a long time ago. Let me see. On Mashiach Ben Yosef? You don't have a safer? Sorry. Yeah, come. I'll go sit next. Come bring the chair over here. Oh, okay, hold on a second. A technical thing. Hey, you need to hold on 1 second. Okay. Water also, we're in the middle of the page. My mitivim ain't misnagdim. Water by nature is not a misnagdim. Water accepts, right? You put something in the water, you go over to the water and you put something in the water accepts it so beautifully. The water takes it and didn't come out. The water takes anything you put into. You put in a rock, you put in a boat, you put in a building, the ocean, whatever you put, the water is not a misnagit. Sometimes, of course, there is a misnagit. Like we see that avonim shachaku amayim, that the water has the ability to wear down even a hard stone over time. It can cause the stone to be changed. An indentation to carve it out through the water. I will ikki yisaidim shamayim eino hisnagdus ela nesina shchiyus. The ikki inyan of water is not hisnagdus, it's not opposition, just the opposite. The ikki inyan of water is welcoming and life giving. That's what water is. It welcomes and it gives life. Obviously, you know, don't swim in the deep water if you don't know how to swim. You have to be careful where you go. But the water by nature is life giving. And is welcoming. Ofar b'yisodai, ainu misnagid. Ofar b'yisodo, the essence of ofar, is also not misnagid. It's also not an element of opposition. Also, the ofar is a place of growing. You plant the seeds, it accepts the seeds. If you get down on the ground, you knock your head against it, it's going to hurt. But it by nature is not. It's not in a state of conflict or opposition. Ofer. And the same thing with Ruach. Ruach, gam Ruach b'yisoda ain't misnagedes. Ruach b'yisoda is not misnagedes. Adrabe, it moves things along. Now, of course, there could be a hurricane and it comes up against the house. And there could be conflict. There could be a clash between the house and the wind and the hurricane. That's everything in the world. But the yisod of ruach also, it carries the seeds from one plant to the next. It carries life along. It brings ruach into a person. It's not the etzem. Ruach is not a misnagit. There's only one of the elements that, by its very definition, is a misnagit, and that's fire. Only fire is something which, by definition, is a misnagi. It consumes, it destroys whatever comes into contact. It wants to completely take over. It doesn't grow anything. It doesn't help. Its mission is to be in a state of conflict, to destroy, to consume. That's the inyan of fire. Of course, if you put a fire under the pot and you cook something, it's gevaldik. That also works by the way of kilui, of consuming. It itself is a power of defiance. That's what fire is. Misad kach navaz ha'avchonen she'ish ve'isha zochu shechina b'neim. So the favorite Shabbat Brachas Torah, that the husband and wife, a man and a woman, if they're zeicha, if things are the right way, then the shechina is b'neim. That's good. Lo yizachu eish oich losam. And if they're not working their relationship out, then it's like a fire mamish. They're consumed by fire. Vayit omu chazal, Zacha, and regarding this relationship between husband and wife, Chazal also tell us on the pasuk at the beginning of Chumash, Ezer Kenegdo, that Zacha, that if you're Zacha, if the relationship is good, Ezer, then fine. Then fire is also a tremendous source of energy, and if you're Zacha, then it's good. The husband and wife help each other, and they energize each other, and they bring each other to good places, and so on. But Loi Zacha, but if Chas V'Chalila, the husband and wife thing is not working out, then the wife is a very big misnagid to the husband. Then there's a hisnagdus between the two of them. But what's important here is that Isha and Isha, the basis of those two words, of course, are Eish, fire. So he says, yeah, Eish hi nekuda sehisnagdus. Eish is the nekuda of contention, of conflict. When the husband and wife are not zoicha, then the Eish consumes them. If things are going well, then you have the Yud and the Hey. That's very sweet. You have the Eish and the Isha. You have the Yud and the Hey. And there's a whole Yichud. It's the highest Yichud, husband and wife. But if it's not working out, then fire takes over, and fire destroys and consumes everything in its path. L'inyanenu, b'sugyas binyan ha'kelim. L'inyanenu, as far as building the kelim of who we are, building ourselves using the four yesodos. Hayisnagdus yetzeres kli. Opposition, conflict, creates kelim. Before we even go into this any further, besides the oimik of what he's going to say, just in the psukim and the words in Lashon HaKrei, this is so much here. But on a very, very basic level, it's something I've been talking about lately a lot. A person doesn't grow unless there's opposition. I think that's very obvious. There's no kelim in your nefesh if everything goes the way that you want. The fact that the Torah says at the very beginning, Eze kenegdo, on a deep level, the Ishbitzah says, Mashiach, the Ezer that helps a person grow in life is the kenegdo. Those things that are, when you go through opposition, that's what makes you into a man, or if you're a girl, I guess, into a woman. It's the opposition. If a person is exercising, and the exercise, one of the things that you're doing is you're pulling these gummies. You have to pull these rubber things to stretch your muscles. If there's no tension, if there's no hisnagdus, in other words, if that thing is just totally loose and it just gives, so then your muscles are not going to be developed. I mean, that's Poshet, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made. All opposition is a means of helping us grow. We'd rather have things easier, and we prefer not to have hisnagdus, not in marriage, not with the kids, not with anything in life. I was just talking to somebody the simplest night who's gone through a tremendous, tremendous nisayon with one of his kids. Unbelievable. And the other kids, it was all like very sweet. And this little one is not so little anymore. He's already a teenager, but the little one is, he's just making their lives crazy and miserable, this kid. But as a result of that, the father was telling me how they've been doing family therapy, and he's been doing some of his own therapy, which his whole life he's making fun of therapy and people that go to therapists or who. And now he's going through therapy, and he said it's mamish changing his life. He got a very good therapist, and it's mamish coming in a way that in Yonim in his life that have been unresolved, that have been causing him and other people in his life through him terrible, terrible, terrible difficulties, he's beginning to understand. He's beginning to realize. So if not for the troubles that he's had with this kid, he would have like died at 120 with a complete lack of self-awareness, with a complete lack of understanding of what he's been doing to his wife, of how he's treated his kids, of how his Yiddishkeit has not been legitimate. And it's all come as a result of what? The hisnagdus of his kid. Because this kid finally said, no, I'm not buying into this. I'm not giving into dad. I'm not buying into dad. Like dad got away with it with the other kids. They just realized that we better go along with this guy or else it's not going to work out. So the other kids gave into dad. And they went along with the Yiddish guy thing. They went along with the whole way of acting and living. They went along with dad because it wasn't kedai to stand in his path, because dad is like, it could be a fire. And can be consuming and destroying. Now this kid said, Adkan, this kid said, I'm not agreeing with you, Dad. I'm not going along with it. And every single thing that this father tried, he told me, everything that he tried to break this kid, to get him to move along, everything that he tried to get him to conform, I guess. Everything he tried, the kid remained a misnagid. Not to the mother, but to him. A huge misnagid. So he told me that he didn't know what to do. And he went to speak first to the therapist. And when he went to the therapist, the intention was, I need some help how to fix this kid so the kid will conform. So I'm not figuring this kid out. So I need somebody that has a lot of experience figuring kids out, and that person is going to tell me how I could break this kid. That's what, you know, he didn't use those words, but how I could, like, how my method and my system, I could apply it to this kid, because this kid's different. He's like being misnagid. And that's why I went to the therapist. It was bechlal, not with any intention of becoming a different person or a better person. It was to learn some method by which I can conquer this territory with the rest of my conquests. Because the other kids I conquered, this one is kenegdi. He's against me. And the father was telling me how it's a gewaldige therapist, and how he has opened up his eyes like to so many inyan in his life that would never ever address. He never would have thought about. He never would have taken care of, if not for this hisnagus that he's going through. And he said that it's changing everything in his life. It's changing his marriage. It's changing his relationship with the older kids, to whom he's apologized about a lot of stuff. It's changing his relationship with Kadosh Baruch. Everything in his life is beginning to be real. So look what happened. The fire of his nagdis created such a kli, to be makabel. Until now, he was not a kli kibble. He was not a vessel to receive. People said this, people said that, daddy, you know that. He didn't hear it. Until he came up against a brick wall. And this kenegdo turned out to be the biggest azer of his life, and that relationship is improving as well. He's not making the kid in his image now. He's letting the kid become his own person. And he's working with the kid on his terms. But if not for this kenegdo, may Ayin Yavo Ezri, where would the azer have come from? His wife learned that the best thing is to say, yes, sweetheart, you're right. Everything you say is right. Honey, you're the chacham, you're the tzaddik, you're the grand puba, whatever. That's what his wife got used to. She never said those, but you know, like in many marriages, she just complied. Turns out all of the years she's been angry, she's been hurt, she's been bitter, she's been suffering from him. But she wasn't a misnagedes. She didn't act. She didn't take the role of misnagedes. She took the role of a happy housewife. She tried to protect her kids as much as she could from his anger. He told this to me. She tried to protect her kids from his anger, and it was hard because she wasn't allowed to stand up for the kids so much because then he got angry. So she was like trying to navigate through this messy situation, which a lot of women are doing. And this youngest kid, he's misnagid. The wife was not a misnagid. The other kids were not misnagid. Or they didn't act as misnagid. Internally, they were big misnagid, but they didn't think it was kedai. They stepped away from the fight, from the ring. They left the ring. But the youngest kid took him on. And he said, Ani menagedacha. I'm sorry. I'm a misnagid. I'm against you. And the father's telling me that this kid has saved his life. Is the biggest azer in his life. So you see, just before we go into the words, how fire can build such a kli. Davke through his nagdus. Is a binyan kelim shebenefesh. Binyan kelim shebenefesh through his nagdus. And we were just talking about this last week, how I think it's Shabbos morning, the Josh, I was really talking about this as well. That everything we're trying to do now is to eliminate his nagdus in our children's lives. To take away any little flicker or flame of his nagdus in their lives, to make everything just right and just easy. I was in the car with somebody like I listened to somebody yesterday to that same Simcha, and he told me that in our neighborhood there, he knows of quite a few kids that they go to school by Uber. As the Maisa. They Uber to school. Uber there and Uber back. Not to go on the bus. Now, we all know this, like bad stuff can happen on the bus. And, you know, bus is not so good sometimes. But poor little Yankee, the reason I didn't speak to anybody, I don't know anybody, no one here would ever admit to me they did such a thing. But poor little boy shouldn't have to go on the bus where there are many stops until he gets to, you know, he has to wait. He would be able to get up later. You know, he can get up a half hour later. Poor little boy has to get up 7:30 instead of 8 or something, and then he has to contend with who knows what will be on the bus, what bully, what bad word or bad song, who knows what could be on the bus. There's a lot of stuff. So in addition to that, Daddy's off to work, and Mommy does not want to get involved in this situation. So no problem. We have a situation set up in the Uber. I think he told me there's some kind of automatic thing they could have on the Uber. I don't know. Every day, Uber comes at the same time. Uber takes him. I'm about going back. He didn't get the phone because I fell off the chair and I was already screaming and howling about this to begin with. So I know some of you are thinking out there, like, okay, is this also like such a big deal? Why can't the kid go on Uber? Like, it's safer, it's better. I don't know if it's safe anyway. Why can't you get some lunatic on the Uber? But okay, Louis Tsuya, it's safe. I wouldn't want to put my 8-year-old into a car with a stranger. I don't know. But let's say, nevertheless, the tachlis of this, of course, is to make sure that my kid is not subjected to any unpleasantness. Well, let's talk about a different situation where you want to make sure that your kid will never meet a non-religious Jew. We'll never see a Machal Shabbos. What happens if your family is not foolproof? Meaning you have like, your kid has cousins that are very modern. Or in the case of many of the Baal Tshuva, not Jewish. In life, they're a misnagdim. In other words, there are things that are different than your kid. So nowadays, we have to try to eliminate all of these misnagdim. And I'm not disagreeing with them. Situations that, of course, there are situations where you have to do your best to protect the kid and so on. But sorry about that. But on the whole, this attitude of making life perfect for our little boys and girls, and trying to eliminate any physical, emotional, spiritual, theological differences, so that everybody in your kid's school should talk the same, act the same, dress the same, and be the same. There shouldn't be any hisnagdus to your kid. Maybe it looks like it's working. Maybe it works for some people, and it looks like it's working. But as far as binyan kalim shebenefesh, you're not building any kalim benefesh. Or if you are, they're like really, really flimsy kalim, and they're very brittle. And that's why you take a kid like this that was protected from seeing anybody that's not religious or anybody that's like different, and then invariably in life he's going to end up someplace where there are people who are not religious and not different, and then whoa, what happens then? What happens? What fire consumes him then? When he is exposed to the world you've tried to keep him from, what happens to him then? Our parents and grandparents, the delayed braver, were exposed to many worlds, many worlds. They saw worlds built and worlds destroyed. They were exposed to all kinds of differences, to many, many misnagdim in their lives. Unfortunately, sometimes they were ruined by the misnagdim. They were destroyed by the misnagdim. But those who survived had strong kalim. They have strong kalim. There's a binyan kalim shebenefesh that comes davka through kinegdo. People who are able to work on their marriages, and get past the initial differences and find a way between them. A mahalach of finding shalom. So those are very, very, very chashuv marriages. I don't believe anybody tells me that everything was perfect in their marriage. They never had any hisnagdus. Everything is, you know, you have some stories that Sadiqim makes, put in the books like this. Okay, maybe, I don't know. I never met anybody like that, but maybe there is such a thing. You put a man and a woman together to live together and to spend a life together and to raise a family together, there's going to be lots of hisnagdus. There's going to be hisnagdus. What happens, however, to our kids who are so protected from many hisnagdus is that the second that something goes wrong in the marriage, it's fafal. In other words, the second that my cute little wife doesn't agree with me, I'm totally broken. Or the second that my cute little husband finds fault with me, I'm finished. I had a conversation with a wife who was expressing some difficulties in her marriage, and she finds her husband to be very critical. So I asked her, are you critical? I thought that was a fair, no? That's a good question. So I want to get a sense of what's going on. So I asked her, are you critical? So she said, I'm not against criticism per se. Only, you could finish the sentence, only if it's against me. And I just was looking at her when she said this, and then she realized what she said. She started to laugh. She said, well, I don't mean exactly like that. I said, no, that's okay. I get it. Everybody's like that. You know, criticism is okay as long as you're not the one that's being criticized. So we have to talk about trying to work this relationship out. That each one of you could be less critical and more positive and whatever, you know. Go to a therapist and see what he can do for you. I can give you just, you know, a phone number or something to see what you can do. But the bottom line is that the kids are so protected nowadays, we're trying to make everything just so right for them that they collapse when they're very fragile when there's a hisnagdus. They don't know how to stand up to any fire. Forget about a fire. They're like anything, any little bit of a tiny little bit of a flicker of a flame, they already forget. It's Kenegdi. My teacher's Kenegdi. And in our wonderful progressive left-wing pluralistic society, all they are teaching is how you can't ever be misnagged to anybody. My wife read to me something about how the form in some doctor's office now, I don't know, she had to fill out on the computer something. And all the stuff about questions, like not to be insulting, about gender stuff and how it puts it on the form. It doesn't say like male, female, just that's not, it has to have other stuff. Like, because what if chas v'shalom, you have some person that's not a male or a female or is both or has switched from one to the other? Any variations of that theme of confusion of our times, and that person sees that the form, and the form says, male, female. How would that hisnagdus affect that person filling out the form? It might cause terrible, terrible pain or trauma for the person who's reading the form. So what they're trying to do now is to eliminate any opposition. Free health care for everybody. What about this guy that's totally healthy and just doesn't like working? He prefers drinking or smoking pot. What about, like, why should he get free health care? Because it's insulting to suggest that somebody does something that he prefers not to do. So for this guy, work is a fire that he tries to avoid. Work is a misnagged to him. How dare I be so condescending? How dare I be so condescending to suggest to him that he get off his tuchus and go to work? How dare I suggest such a thing? No, free health care for everybody. Why should this guy get it? Why should I pay for this guy's health care? Let him pay for his own health care. What do I have to pay for his health care? You can't say that. Anybody that expresses anything that in any way is opposed to what these people believe in or feel is the right thing is an enemy and has to be destroyed. I was talking about that at the Erev Shabbos, I think Erev Shabbos, Shawan. So this Ben Shapiro I mentioned the other day, he's got to be surrounded by bodyguards, that poor guy, because he says things that are misnagdim to people. He says things that are against what people like. So because he says things that people don't like, why don't you work, and stuff like that, so he's in danger. Because he's seen as a dangerous person. Why? Because he's a misnagdim. Because he's against me. He's critical of me. He's critical of my way of life. He's critical of my way of thinking. So it should be very clear. We're going to learn, of course, now inside. It should be very clear how hisnagdus is one of the greatest means of building one's kelim. It's dafka through the kenegdo. That's what Ezra is saying. It's dafka the kenegdo itself is the ezer. Opposition itself is the ezer. And all the things that Kadosh Baruch Hu brings in our path in life, where we feel hurt and angry and resentful, that why is Hashem sending all of these misnagdim into my life? Why is He sending so much opposition into my life? With each drop of opposition, Hashem is saying to the person, Gadel, overcome it, become great, become a big person, build Kalim Shebenefesh. That's the sugi that we're learning. So let's read inside. The inyaneinu b'sugi is binyan hakelim misnagdus yetzeres kli. At the bottom of the page. The inyaneinu in the sugi of building kelim, hisnagdus creates a kli. Kolashna posik eze kenegdo. Lozof minay bakter. V'hinikus a kli shalom. Then we know that the wife is called in Chazal. Again, this is something that could offend women and it might traumatize them. And in that case, they'll have to pay for their own therapy because you need to understand what it means. But we find a Chazal that a wife is called a Kli. Haylanu, she's a Kli that contains the child and she's a Kli. She's the Bechin of Malchus, which is a Kli. Malchus has the letters Chaf Lamed. And Malchus is the inyan of a kli. Harilanu ki anigud mechadesh kli. Now the wife is called a kli, and the kli is not because she's, to God forbid, be misused by the husband, or treated as his kli. The meaning of it is that through that relationship that one has with his wife, a kli is created where there can be true shalom. And you could come to a madrega of the greatest love and the greatest shalom dafka through that kli. When you're by yourself, you can't do that. So a lot of guys, they don't want to get married. Not because they can't find anybody. They don't want to get married. That's obviously much more in the secular world. But I've seen this even by people who are shamanists. They don't want to get married. Why don't they want to get married? What do I need this for? What do I need this for? Do I need all of this nagdus for my life? I have to deal with all that stuff. We'll have to put up all this stuff. Getting married is a lifetime of kenegdo. I got to take care. Then she's going to give birth to all these misnagdim. So she's a misnagdim. The kid's a misnagdim. Because everything is, I'd rather do this. And the kid is telling me, no, you need to do that. I don't want to have misnagdim in my life. When I'm by myself, I do what I like. I do what I want. So there's a country full of people that don't have kelim. There's no kelim benefesh. Because the kelim are through kenegdo. That's what he's explaining. The first B'divrei Rabbi Seina, shekol nigud bebriya mechadesh kli. Wherever there's a nigud in creation, it's mechadesh a kli. It creates a kli. Ha'isha nikus kenegdo, agam nikus kli. Hari Shaha Kenegdo Mechadish Kli Benefesh. It's the Kenegdo of the wife and the husband. It's the Kenegdo that creates the Kli Benefesh. If we try to understand this in a very simple way, beneficially done in our own souls. Where does the nakuda of nigud, how does it create kalim in ourselves? So this is how fire can create a kli. First of all, when there's something that's kinegdecha, you have to try to find a way lachil mashu what is negdo, to contain something that's against you. All right, so let's say you have a roommate. You're in school. You're in yeshiva. You're in college. You have a roommate, and the roommate is the stuff that's annoying the roommate. That's going to be with any other person. There's going to be stuff, but you have to create a kli lachil mashu shukenedo. It makes you into a more expanded and expansive person by working on being able to tolerate this person who's different than you. Through that tolerance, you're making yourself into a bigger kli. As until now, you were only able to contain people who were like you. That was your kli. It was a very small kli. Only people like you, from your background, spoke your language, were as clean and tidy as you, whatever it is. You had a kli, and that kli was very limited. It was a small kli. The kli was only able to contain people who were like you. Now, through this roommate, just like the father that I was talking about with the kid, through this roommate, the kli is now a bigger kli. If it works out and you work on yourself, you now are a person that can tolerate people who are different than you, which is marriage also. So through that, the container has become larger. It was a very small container until now. Now it's a larger container. It's a much more interesting container. It has a lot more interesting things. This is conscious of a kli. Vareisha mucha chula harchiv is nekudas akli. You have no choice but to expand the nekudas akli to make this kli larger. As I have to succeed in the situation, and I have to learn how to tolerate things and people that are different than me, and by doing that. Through that, I make the kli to a larger kli. That's exactly the problem that I was talking about a few minutes ago. By making sure that your kid is never exposed to anybody that's different than him, the kalim are pathetic kalim. They're tiny little kalim. The pathetic kalim. That's why I've said 1,000 times over the years that when you meet chevra, the kids that were raised out of town, where they were, because out of town, they just, by definition, they were in an environment of hisnagdus. It was not everything, not everybody is frum, and not everything is kosher, not everything is the way, you know, whatever. So the best guys that were in yeshiva were the guys at Dafka were subjected to hisnagdus. Those who were raised in a very, very insular place, that's nice, and if it works, it's fantastic, but the kalim are very small. And even the one that was raised, let's say, in that very insular environment, when he gets married, the wife is very different than him because she's a girl. So now this person who's never, ever had to stretch, who's never had to make the kalim bigger for things that are different than him, now he's married, and all of a sudden this girl is like a million... It's got a million things going on that's different than me. So I'm in this relationship that I have to be in. I can't run away from this. I'm in this relationship. But if I don't make this kli, a larger kli that is able to tolerate someone who is very different than me, then our marriage is going to fall apart. So through the Hisnagdus, you make the kli larger. You expand the kli to make more room. You become more tolerant. You become more understanding. People who have been through tzaras lo aleinu, they're generally much more tolerant and more understanding. Because when they go through those things and they survive those things, they have bigger kelim. They have much bigger kelim. The people who never ever had to go through those things, the kelim are small. The kelim are small. So a person who never ever had to have any hisnagdus, let's say he spent his whole life just in the Beis HaMedrash, and he was never ever confronted with or challenged by hisnagdus in any major scale, in any major way. So how is he now supposed to be a person that has expanded kelim? For let's say now he became a Rebbe. So how does he let every kid into that kli? Like, how's his kli big enough for the kids who are different? For the kids who, like, disagree with him? You know, the kids who don't go along. Like, how is he going to be a Rebbe for those kids? Now he became a Rebbe. What is the size of that kli of who he is? Is it a kli that can contain people, kids who are very different from him, who don't agree with him? Can he find room for them? It's not so pushy. It's a very rude awakening because the kli was so tiny. It makes no difference how smart a person is. The kli is a tiny kli. I mentioned this the other day when I was out of town. I was talking to the Chavim. You see, I was talking to one of the guys. You see that Rav Moshe Feinstein and all these tzaddikim, the Klausenberger Rebbe, all these tzaddikim, they had such a big kelim. They had room for they were able to tolerate so many different kinds of Jews from so many different backgrounds. And it's interesting because they didn't speak English. In America, they don't know the language, and yet they had such big kelim because of their life's experiences that they were able to find space for all different kinds of people, kids, Jews that were not like them. They had very, very big kelim. And all we're trying to do is to see to it that our kids are never, ever exposed to anything that could possibly require any understanding, depth, tolerance, patience. No, everything's got to work out. So my kid's going to have an Uber so he doesn't have to make a larger kli for an extra 25 minutes of sleep. Understand? For 25 minutes less sleep. Something that's hard for him. It's hard for him. Or you go to the yeshivas now. Everybody's trying to switch to a different shia. Or a person's in this yeshiva. It's 2 days into the school year. I can't be in this yeshiva. It doesn't fit into my kli. It's got to fit into your kli. Your kli is very tiny. You have a very small kli. How is it supposed to fit into your kli? Through the inyan of Hisnagdus and working your way through the Hisnagdus and refining yourself and working very, very, very hard to listen, to hear, to try to learn, a person can grow immeasurably because they're new kelim. The tremendous kelim, the big kelim. A person has the ability now to be mekabel many, many, many wonderful things that until now he couldn't be mekabel. Because mekomalanda is kalti. There's so much to learn from every person. But you know how to learn what you need to learn it, and to take what you need to take. And like with Meir and with Elisa and Avuya, and to discard with Acher, and not to take things that are not for you. So how do we raise kids? Where the kid has a cousin that's less frum and can learn from the wonderful, let's say, the beautiful midas of that kid, but doesn't end up having to have the same amount of hours on the computer or to be allowed to use the Fortnite, right, to use that game that that cousin is using. In other words, learn from your cousin's beautiful midas, the less religious one's got beautiful midas, sweet and good and kind, but that doesn't mean you're going to get to Fortnite because your cousin's playing with it. That's the hard thing. So since we don't want to really work on this stuff, we just figure out it's better not to hang out with your cousin at all. Like, let's just try to get rid of the cousin. Maybe that's what people do on Fortnite. I don't know. They just get rid of other people. I'm not sure how it works. I mean, I'm not sure. I don't know at all what it's about. But I'm assuming it's some sort of competition. And in competition, you have to get rid of the enemy or something. That's how all games are. Everything's about competition. And that, however, since I mentioned games, that's what makes a game fun. You know, let's say you're on the basketball court and you're just by yourself. Sometimes when I was desperate enough, I would do that when I was a kid. There was nobody around. I would just go to the schoolyard and just practice my shooting. And sometimes I'll admit that even when it came to hitting a ball, there was nobody around. I tried to ask my sister a few times. It just didn't work out. So I would just do what we used to call it fungo. That word makes me. I used to just throw the ball up and hit it myself. There was no pitcher, you know, just myself. I don't know if that's the right word. I don't know. He hit the ball myself, and then I would go and run and get the ball and hit it again. It's very easy to be like to consider yourself a big superstar when you're doing that. But the truth of the matter is that you know the same way that if you never learn with a chavrusa who's arguing with you and fighting with you, and if you never play ball with somebody who's against you in the game, like one on one on the basketball court, so there's very little growth. Very little growth, especially in the early stages. What makes the game so much fun is the hisnagas. It's really not much fun to play by yourself, to go out and shoot by yourself. But when there's a hisnagas, then it becomes gishmak. And that's what makes the kelim grow. And you feel that, even though you're not identifying what's the gishmak kind of this, because I just lost this game. So why am I so excited? Like, why am I enjoying this? I lost. When I'm by myself, I never lose. So why am I so excited through this competition? And why is that people are so thrilled to watch competition? If you take the greatest tennis player and you just watch his moves and the stuff he does, but there's nobody on the other side of the net, what's the Indian? You know, who cares? I used to Gavaldik. He could jump. He could do this. He takes the racket and he does it behind his back. And it's just a machine that's shooting the balls at him. Nobody's going to pay money to see a machine and a guy play. Because what's exciting about the game is what's going to come out of this competition. Now, what's going to come out of this hisnagus, of this union of kinegdo? What's going to be this kinegdo? The guy is supposed to be the greatest boxer in the world. Anybody's going to watch this guy if he just stands there hitting a bag? Who's going to watch the boxer? Even though he's going to show all those great moves. No, but when you put another guy in the ring with him, and there's a hisnagas, now we're talking. Now we're going to see something great. If you like that, being two people doing that, you're going to see something great. And each one of those through the competition develops Kalim Benefesh. Caitlin Benefish to grow, to become a greater boxer, a greater ball player, whatever it is. Ima Kliat Akshav, Heichel Dovar at the next page, the Suyam. If the Kli until now was able to contain a certain thing, Regashiesh Dovar Shemis Nagilo, but that now that he has to contend with something that's opposed to him, who writes Lachilas Isaias Nagas, he wants to be able to contain this hisnagdus, in other words, to make it something which is part of his life, huchayev hachavah shel kli. It means he has to make the kli larger. Anytime you're sitting in a class and the teacher says some new information that you never heard before, you could either just not want to be troubled by new information, or you can make a bigger kli that's going to receive new information. And now you have a bigger kli. Until now, your mind was resistant to this because it's not the way you thought until now. But now, in order to you're hearing this and you're open to it, and there's something new in this way of thinking that you might want to draw into your life. Then it's dafka through that hisnagdus of being challenged with some new information, you can make yourself into an expanded kli. Now this concept, this idea is now part of your way of thinking. It's part of your life. It's become included in your mind. Until now, it's been excluded. It's been outside, and now it's included. That requires our chavish kli to be able to receive it. Hisnagdus is always mechadeshes hachaves kelim, unless it destroys you. That's why fire could either, hisnagdus could either build you, or the hisnagdus could mamish, wipe you out, burn you up, and destroy your life. There's something on the street you shouldn't be looking at. There's a person that's not dressed properly, and you shouldn't be looking at that. That opposition to what you believe in could build you into a greater person by holding back and turning away. Makes you into a more spiritual person, into a deeper person, a person who's thinking about what's inside, not what's outside. It can make you in many ways into a greater person. If you lose the competition and you look, it could be a fire that destroys you. So fire is a gewaltige, has tremendous potential in binyan kelim shebenefesh. Okay, Mishnah, we'll continue this next week. Chicago.